Well, this morning we're continuing our study of 2 Timothy. If you'd like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Two weeks ago we finished verses 3 and 4. And I think 5. And today we have 6 and 7. Let me read to you. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Amen. Up at retreat yesterday morning, I was sharing with the men. The topic is the renewing of your mind. And my topic was the renewing of the mind by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I made four simple points. The first is that the work of the Holy Spirit in this renewing of our mind begins first with regeneration. You can't have your mind renewed until you have the new mind, first of all. You've got to be a Christian. Secondly, you need instruction, and we are instructed and taught by the Holy Spirit. That's why he was sent, to instruct us and remind us of everything Jesus taught. But sometimes we don't always understand these things, and so the third thing we need is the illumination of the Holy Spirit to help us to have understanding. And then finally, we cannot be hearers only, we must be doers of the word. And therefore, the Holy Spirit works in us the sanctifying work of the Spirit, which we cooperate with, but which he is the empowerment and the strength. The reason I give you that is because in this verse 7 it says, for God gave us a spirit. And then we get to that point, we'll see, does this really talk about the Holy Spirit or just our spirit? And we'll think about that as we get there. But today we're talking about giftedness. The Holy Spirit, when we become a believer, has gifted us with gifts, abilities to do things for him, to serve the body of Christ. Some gifts are gifts of ministry, like apostleship, being a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Others are various ways of ministering in the church. Everybody is to do their part. Everybody is to be involved. If you're a believer, you have a giftedness and you are to use it. Paul was reminded of Timothy's faith. Because he had faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, even as his grandmother and his mother, he had a giftedness. And throughout this next section, from 6 on to 12 or 14, there's a call to suffering and to not be ashamed. But it begins here by making sure your gift is working. And then he's going to talk about not being ashamed of the gospel, and then holding on to the gospel, and then guarding the gospel. But today, as we look at verses 6 and 7, the first thing we want to notice is the use of God's gift, and the second thing is the nature of God's gift. So verse 6. For this reason, I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For what reason? Well, Paul is reminded of Timothy's faith, and so it reminds him that that's only the starting point. You're to continue on, and because of that, you have a giftedness, and so you need to make use of it. And so he says, I remind you. Now, did he need a reminder? We all need reminders. I was asking one of the men after one of the sessions yesterday, did you learn anything? He says, no, but I'm reminded of all the things I need to remember. Which are so easy to forget. We need to be reminded. And so he's reminding. There's Paul, the older man. He desires Timothy, the younger man. Don't faint under the heavy burden of ministry. I was thankful for my father encouraging me. I started as pastor, and my father had been a pastor for 50 years. That's an encouragement. Keep on. It's going to be difficult at times. Now that I'm doing this with Justin, same thing, okay? It's difficult at times. You don't give up. You don't faint. You don't lose heart. You keep at it. And by the way, I still need to be reminded of that myself. That's why I study this. He's saying, you have a giftedness, Timothy. Fan it into flame. A flame speaks of a fire. You all know what it is to have a fire in the fireplace. You put in the starter stuff. You put in the logs. You get the fire started. It's roaring. It's going great. And that's all you have to do. It just lasts forever, right? The eternal fire. No, no, no. We got up to retreat. Some men got the stuff going. They got the fire going. Okay? And then every hour or so, someone's putting more logs on the fireplace. Got to fan it into flame. We got to get it going higher again. Getting cold in here. Get that flame going again. Well, the same thing is true with our giftedness. Fan it into flame. One Greek lexicon says this means to keep in full flame or to keep at full potential. John Chrysostom, who was a preacher in the early church, he said, as fire requires fuel, so grace requires our alacrity that it may be ever fervent. That makes sense to you? Do you know what alacrity is? Okay, I'll confess, I looked it up too. I mean, I heard the word before. I think I had an idea of it. But I looked it up and it said, alacrity is a brisk and cheerful readiness, an eager and willing enthusiasm. Okay? Now you learn something new. Not just being encouraged, you learn something new, alacrity. You're going to practice this in your life, right? So Chrysostom is saying, as fire requires fuel, so grace requires our eager and willing enthusiasm that it may be ever fervent. Fires go out. They've got to be stirred up. Now, this is not the same as 1 Thessalonians 5:19, which says, quench not the spirit. That means stop putting out the fire. Okay? People, oh, there's a fire. Let's put it out. No, no, no. We need the fire to warm us up and to stir us up. We've got to stir this fire up. So fan it into flame. This is an active voice. Do this. Part of our responsibility. Attend to what we call the means of grace to stir it up. Continually seeking God, meditating on His Word, studying, praying over Scripture, and then putting it into practice and making use of it in helping others. So he says, fan into flame the gift of God. Now, what is the gift? It's a gift of God. It's called a charisma, a gift of grace. God's grace gifting us to do something. By the way, by grace you're saved, by grace you live. Grow in the grace of the Lord. Okay? The Apostle Paul said, I labored more than all of you, but it wasn't me. It was God's grace within me. The grace is the divine empowerment to do what God wants us to do. And so that's what this giftedness is. But here it was a specific expression of grace in Timothy's life. It was more than a natural ability. It was a bestowment of God totally apart from any personal merit or qualification or something that you seek after. It's something that God has gifted him with. And here it says, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. In other words, there was some sort of a commissioning ceremony for Timothy to have a particular ministry of using his gift. Sometimes we call that ordination when we're setting up a man to be a preacher and pastor. He's ordained to the ministry. We all agree that he has the calling of God upon his life and his heart, and so we say we dedicate him to this. Sometimes we do the same thing when we're sending out someone for mission work. We say we really feel you're called to this mission work, and we're going to pray over you, lay our hands on you, and ask God's blessing to go with you. All right? Now, that's not necessary for every single gift. Perhaps you have the gift of serving. You need to be serving. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement. Encourage people. You know, there's all kinds of different gifts that people have. Here's an interesting thought. Are you stirring up? Are you fanning into flame your giftedness? Do you see something and say, we need this at our church. Why isn't it being done? And you come and you say to the pastor, why aren't we doing this? I say, you saw the need, start doing it. So why aren't you going to start a program? No, I'm not going to start a program. You are. Okay. I have enough to do already. You see the need, do it. And so people start something. And they work on this, or they work on that, or they do this, or they do that. And we say, great, here's a couple more. I want to do the same thing with you. Work together. Okay? That's how it works. But we're each gifted in different ways. And if I try to do something I'm not gifted for, it doesn't work out very well. Okay? Someone said, God never commissions any Christian worker, no matter how small the task, without imparting a special giftedness and giving grace to accomplish it. Amen. Amen. You say, oh, I wouldn't be able to do that. I think I'd like to do that, but I don't think I could do that. Of course you can't. But God can through you, and he gives you his grace to do it. That's the divine enablement he blesses you with. So here it seemed like Paul is reminding Timothy of his ordination, so to speak, and to keep that going, fan it into flame. We're reminded of this back in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, this charge I entrust you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you. In other words, they gathered around, they prophesied that you've got this gift, now use it. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, he told Timothy again, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. So we all need reminders. We all need reminders. You ever get into cruise control? I'm not talking about in your car, although that can sort of happen too in a certain way. I hate to confess this, but I can find myself driving to work when I was supposed to be going somewhere else. I get in the car and all of a sudden I'm, oh, wait, I was supposed to be going to the post office, not to the church. And I'm going the wrong direction. I'm heading to the church. I'm in cruise control, so to speak. Okay? In other words, I'm driving, but I'm not thinking about where I'm going. I'm just doing what I always do. That can happen. Okay? Sometimes we get in cruise control in the Christian life thinking, well, I've handled it before, I can handle it again, and everything's going to go well, and all of a sudden I'm not where I wanted to be in my Christian life. Because I'm not checking in about what I'm supposed to be doing. We need to check in with the Lord every day. We need to spend time in the Word and in prayer and communicating with Him to know what He wants us to do each day. This is vital. This is of such importance for each one of us. And so the apostle's reminding him of what he was called to do. And then we come to verse 7, and we see, what is the nature of this gift? He says, for God gave us a spirit. Now, is this spirit, capital S? Do you have a Bible that has a capital S in it? Anybody? Or it could be lowercase s. And I suppose if we took a vote, what way you think it is, it would probably be divided. Okay? And who's right? I don't know. Now, it can be talking about God giving us a spirit of our renewed spirit that is enabled to have power, love, and self-control. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit is love and self-control. Or it can mean the Holy Spirit is the one energizing all these things. Maybe it's both. I prefer to think of it as the Holy Spirit, but there's a lot of people wiser than me that think it's the other way. But then there's people like that believe the same way I do too, so I can't tell you for sure which way it is, but either way, this is spiritual life within us, okay? And as Paul sometimes does, he says, but it's not this, but it's this and this and this. Like over in Romans, I think he says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Here he says, God's given us a spirit, but it's not a spirit of fear. That's the negative part. God doesn't give you a spirit of fear. Spirit of cowardice, some translate it. Some translate it timidity. Timothy, no. Timidity. But others point out that this doesn't necessarily mean that Timothy was fearful. It's just showing what we don't have. We don't have that spirit of fear. That, if we have a spirit of fear, it didn't come from God. Okay. It may or may not be true that Timothy was fearful. This word is never used in a good sense. This is not the word phobia, like the fear of the Lord. This is a different word that means a cowardice. It's how it's often translated in the Old Testament in the Greek as cowardice. By the way, do you sometimes allow yourself to have a spirit of cowardice and you don't speak up for Jesus? Don't be ashamed of the Lord. That's what he's going to talk about later here as well. The next verse. Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor me as prisoner. Share in the suffering. We talked a little bit about that up at retreat. You know, that's not what God's called us to do, to be ashamed. But sometimes we feel a little bit like I'm a little bit fearful, a little cowardice about speaking up. People around you need to know that you're a Christian. Okay? We were talking yesterday about the pineapple man. How many of you remember the pineapple man? I can't remember his name now. Otto Koenig. There you go, Otto Koenig. And most of you probably have heard the stories about him. Here he is out as a missionary telling all these people about becoming a Christian and being a Christian, what being a Christian is like. But he had a pineapple garden. Brought in these pineapples, planted these pineapple trees, and
after 3 years, you know, they're coming up and they're pineapples, and then the natives steal all the pineapples. Okay? And how does a good Christian respond to that? Well, Otto Koenig got angry, got upset. You're stealing my pineapples. You shouldn't be doing that. Later on, he realized, I can't get these pineapples, and I'm being angry. This isn't good. I give my pineapple garden to God, okay? I give it to him. And they kept stealing the pineapples. And he laughingly said, "Oh, God, you can't even stop from stealing your pineapples." But you know, the telling thing is, when these natives who were stealing these pineapples came back to Otto Koenig and said, "You're not angry anymore. How come you're not angry when we steal your pineapples?" "Oh, you're not stealing my pineapples. You're stealing God's pineapples." "Oh. But you're not being angry anymore." And then they said, "Have you become a Christian?" "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." You tell people that you're a Christian, or you talk about what it means to be a Christian, and they say, "Well, I'd like to see one." You should be one. They should be able to see it in you. Mahatma Gandhi, it is said that he came over to America looking into what Christianity was like, but he couldn't find a Christian. Whoa, that is sad. Are nobody acting like Christians? One of the ways that we don't act like Christians is if we have a spirit of cowardice. That wasn't from God. That's self. Well, what has God given us? Here's the positive. God has given us a spirit of power and love and self-control. Look at verse 8, the next verse. "Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel." How? By the power of God. In chapter 3, verse 5, there are some people, it says, who have the appearance of godliness, but they deny its power. Some people try to act like Christians, but they don't have any power in their lives. Christians, we're to have power in our lives. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And as a result, you'll be my witnesses," starting right here in Jerusalem, moving out to Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. A spirit of power, dunamis, a spirit of great force and energy that is effective and productive. Look back at Ephesians chapter 1 just for a moment. Part of Paul's prayer here. In Ephesians 1, starting at verse 18, he prays, "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you might know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and that you might know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly places." Verse 19, again, "What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the powerful working of his power that he powerfully worked in Christ?" There you go. My own translation. God's given us a spirit of power. Chapter 3, verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work. It doesn't say within him. It says according to the power at work within us. God's given us a spirit of power. What are you afraid of? The power of God in our lives should be evident. But it's not just a spirit of power, it's also a spirit of love. Agape love, selfless love. Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. In John 13:35, Jesus said, they will know that you are Christians by your love. He said, by this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. 1 Corinthians 16, let everything be done in love. Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. Everything is to be saturated with love in the Christian life. The most loving people in the world are to be Christians. That's us. We have a spirit of power, but we also have a spirit of love. How is your love? Our love isn't to be selective. But it will be special for certain people. Of course, you're going to love your mate and your family more than anybody else. But that doesn't mean you don't love other people. You still love them. God has given us a special love, bringing us to Jesus Christ. At the same time, God loves the whole world. What did he say in Matthew chapter 5? Jesus, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even Gentiles do that. If you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? But you're to be like your heavenly Father who causes his Son to rise on evil and good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He demonstrates love for all, even though he has a special love for us. And we have special love for believers and our families and so on, but we have love for anyone and everyone. We're not to be unloving at all. And then it's a power of self-control. Or some translated, a power of a sound mind. The Greek word is literally saving the mind. Saving the mind. Well, that's like being renewed in our mind. The Amplified Version says, calm and well-balanced mind of discipline and self-control. We're talking about the exercise of a sane, balanced mind. And that's what we were talking about up at retreat all weekend. Thinking the things of God, being renewed in our mind, being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind. By putting off the things of the world and putting on the things of Christ and being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Our thinking. Think biblically. The world speaks worldly. Okay? They have their, quote, political correctness. If it agrees with Scripture, fine, great. If it doesn't, we should speak up and say, that's not what God says. By the way, don't share your opinion. Say, you want to know what God says? God has revealed it. This is not a human book. This is not written by human authors thinking out their own thoughts. This was God moving upon them as they wrote. They didn't even always understand what they were writing. Usually they did, but not always. Especially when they're prophesying about the future. Who can know that? So having a mind that is renewed so that it's under the control of God's Spirit. Someone said self-control is God-control. If our mind is controlled by the Spirit of God, then there's the self-control. Well, in review, we all have a giftedness. And our giftedness is to be made use of with the power and love and self-control and self-discipline of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So either way, whether it's the Holy Spirit given to us or the Spirit that we have from God, moved by the Holy Spirit, you get the idea either way. Notice the way that Peter puts it in 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's variated grace, many-colored grace, His grace that He's given to you that is empowers you to do something that nobody else can do. Might be similar, but we're all unique. And then he says, if it's speaking, speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. If it's serving, serve as one who, by the strength that God supplies. And why must we do this? He says, in order that, this is the purpose, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. What's the chief end of man? What's the purpose of life? Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. You glorify God by using the giftedness He gives you. How are you using your giftedness? When we read in earlier in 1 Corinthians 12, it talked about varieties of gifts, talents, abilities that God gives us to serve Him and to serve the church. Are you using yours? If you're not, we're hurting because you're not using your gift. Let's fan it into flame. And by the way, one of the ways that you can be a special blessing is to encourage others. Encourage others. You say, oh, but somebody else, they've got the gift of encouragement. You're right. But we all have the responsibility of encouraging. So you need to serve. Oh, but I don't have the gift of serving. They have the gift of serving. Yes, they have the gift of serving. But everybody's supposed to serve. And practice mercy. Oh, but they have the gift of mercy. Yeah, let them practice that and learn from them. But everybody's to show mercy. You see, we're all to learn from one another how to do better the things that they do the best. That's how we build up. That's how we get blessed. God's blessing be upon us. Fan it into flame. Encourage one another. Let's bow together for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much. This is really all about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and being useful to Him in the advancement of His kingdom. And so, Father, just anoint us anew with a special measure of Your grace. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through us to encourage others, that we would all be useful in serving You. To the praise of Jesus Christ and to You, Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.